Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
The National Basketball Association playoffs continue later Tuesday night with three first-round games. Our VOA basketball fans will remember all series in the NBA playoffs are best-of-seven games. So the first team that gets four wins advances to the next round. In Texas, the host Houston Rockets will be looking to advance against the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Rockets lead 3-1. In another Texas contest, the San Antonio Spurs are at home against the Memphis Grizzlies. This series is tied at 2 games each. And in Southern California, the Los Angeles Clippers will host the Utah Jazz. This series is also tied at 2 games each. In playoff results Monday night, the Golden State Warriors scored a 128-103 victory over the host Portland Trail Blazers to complete a 4-game sweep and advance to the second round. Two-time league most valuable player Stephen Curry fired in a game-high 37 points for the Warriors, who jumped out to a 45-22 lead after the opening quarter. Those 45 points matched the NBA record for most first-quarter points in a playoff game. Steph talks about the team's hot start.
We came out on a mission. We knew tonight, obviously, we won by 25, but it wasn't going to be easy. Any closeout game's tough, so to start the way we did was amazing. On defense, we were everywhere, and that fed us, you know, right into confidence on the offensive end, so it was a great way to you know, put our foot on the gas pedal and get a win.
Steph Curry and the Warriors got that win with star forward Kevin Durant back on the court after KD missed games 2 and 3 in the series with a strained left calf. Durant finished with 10 points in 20 minutes of playing time. Steph Curry says it was great to see Durant playing again.
Well, that was big. I know it's been tough on him to, you know, be in and out of the lineup. So for him to come out and give us what he had, 20 solid minutes, play well, play confident, looked like he was moving well. So you get some rhythm. Before the break, we're going to have this. It was big.
Elsewhere, the Atlanta Hawks beat my beloved Washington Wizards 111-101 to even that series at 2 games each. Game 5 will be Wednesday night right here in Washington. In Game 4, the Hawks had 7 players reach double figures in scoring, led by power forward Paul Millsap, who tallied 19 points. Guard Bradley Beal scored a game-high 32 points for the Wizards. The Hawks soared over the Wizards in the second quarter, outscoring the Wiz 31-15. At the post-game news conference, Washington coach Scott Brooks talked about what went wrong.
We made a lot of defensive mistakes. We took a lot of tough shots. But they outscored us by 15 or 16 points in that quarter. But we did battle back. We tied it up, actually, late in the third. It was basically what I see is two very good basketball teams, evenly matched, fighting for their playoff lives. We're the 4th and 5th seed. You know, the series is tied. Now it's basically the 1-2 now. But that second quarter, a lot of mistakes that we didn't make in that first quarter, we made in the second quarter.
In another NBA playoff result Monday night, The Toronto Raptors battered the visiting Milwaukee Bucks 118-93. Toronto now leads this series 3-2. Forward Norman Powell scored a playoff career-high 25 points for Toronto, while all-star forward Giannis Antetokounmpo scored a game-high and a playoff career-high 30 points for Milwaukee. It's World Malaria Day. Let's take a break now for this important malaria message from a now-retired Congolese basketball giant.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Listen to VOA's program lineup, live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
VOA! I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOASunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOASunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if our Voice of America listeners check out my Facebook page today, Tuesday, you'll see a nice photo of London Marathon champions Daniel Wanjiru and Mary Kaitani, both from Kenya, near the iconic Tower Bridge in the British capital. Wanjiru won the men's race on Sunday in 2 hours, 5 minutes, and 48 seconds, while Kaitani set a new women-only world record with a time of 2 hours, 17 minutes, and 1 second. Britain's Paula Radcliffe still holds the women's marathon world record of 2 hours, 15 minutes, and 25 seconds set at the London Marathon in 2003 when Paula ran against men and women. Daniel Wanjiru and Mary Kaitani are both looking back fondly on their victories in London. Wanjiru says his friends and family in Kenya were delighted with his performance.
First, I talked with my family there in Kenya, and they motivated me a lot. And also my friends whom I train with there in Kenya, where we train. So everybody in Kenya first was very happy, and also my friends from many years were very happy.
Daniel Wanjiru won a close race against Ethiopian star Kenenisa Bekele, the world record holder at both 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters. Kenenisa finished 9 seconds behind when Giroux, who says he drew inspiration from the fans on the London course.
When we were passing that 9 kilometers, that is the time I met the people on the way cheering, and when I passed them, I can hear them shouting again after me. So I knew there is somebody coming from behind, so I was to set in my mind that there is somebody coming. So I was to have more determination to increase the pace and to time him. If he was to cross, so I was to push harder so that he cannot resist, because he must have used the energy to cross the gap. So from there, if I can push again, was to be done like that. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Mary Keitany reflects on her outstanding run in London.
I was ready for anything because I knew I trained well, and I knew again I can run a good time. Despite my colleague not following me, I said if the pacemaker is with me, I will follow. Despite the fact that the pace at first was a little bit crazy, and I said, okay, let me just go, so long as I'm just feeling my fatigue, so long as I'm feeling my body. And I said, okay, if I'm going at this pace, maybe when I will be at halfway, I will be losing. So in any case, let me just go like this, and I will do the last part, I mean the halfway. And I just I put in my mind that if somebody was coming to catch me behind, I was ready with the tactics, because I was really ready. Because what happened last year, I didn't want to happen it again.
Mary Keitany talks about how she didn't want it to happen again, not referring to the 2016 London Marathon. Mary finished 9th overall among the women at last year's race in London. The women's race in 2016 was won by Kenya's Jemima Sumgong, who also won Olympic gold in the women's marathon at last year's Rio Games in Brazil. Now, the 32-year-old Sumgong was planning to defend her title in London, but she was suspended after testing positive earlier this month for the banned blood booster EPO in an out-of-competition test carried out by the International Association of Athletics Federations, the sports world governing body. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Kick it, John!
Kick it!
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This Sunny Side of Sports programming note, I'll be talking later this week with Namdi Hollywood Mueta, our reigning prince of pugilistics, about Saturday's big world heavyweight title fight between Anthony Joshua and Vladimir Klitschko. The bout at 90,000-seat Wembley Stadium in London is a sellout. International Boxing Federation heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua talks about the matchup between former Olympic champions.
Two gold medalists, former world champion, one current world champion. Still a lot to prove. Yet a lot to prove. You've got the guy who went on and achieved great things in his career and has built that legacy. You've got the guy who's yet to still. So when you balance it all up, it's a 50-50 fight, I think, and that's what makes it exciting.
As boxing fans look forward to what they hope will be an exciting heavyweight fight, they haven't heard a lot of trash talk from Joshua and Klitschko. Both fighters have shown mutual respect. The 41-year-old Klitschko says the 27-year-old Joshua has improved since he won the gold medal in the super heavyweight class at the 2012 Olympics in London.
He has developed himself tremendously. He has a professional team. He's an extreme athlete, and he's very athletic. He's trying to learn, and I've experienced that while he was 2 years ago at my training camp. He's calm, he's backed off, and he's learning. He's observing. So I think he has right attitude how to approach the sport and how to get better, and it's going to be really tough for me to fight such a young, ambitious man.
That's former world heavyweight boxing champion Vladimir Klitschko talking about IBF champ Anthony Joshua, his opponent on Saturday in London. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
What's trending out there in the sports world?
A lot of respect between those two men in that last story between Klitschko and Joshua. Not a lot of respect from Ilie Nastase in the tennis world. For our listeners, a reminder, Ilie Nastase, he's currently the Romanian Fed Cup captain, but perhaps best known around the world as a former world number one tennis player in the 1970s, winner of the French Open and U.S. Open in the 1970s. He was, as part of his duties as a Romanian Fed Cup captain, coaching a match between Romania and the UK over the weekend, and he was overheard making some racially charged comments at a press conference about Serena Williams' unborn child. And then following that, the next day at that match, was caught making some sexist remarks and outbursts at some of the UK women players, and actually was expelled from that match as a result. So first, these comments about Serena Williams, widely disavowed and condemned by people across the sports world. And Serena Williams now just responding in the past couple days, putting up a statement actually on Instagram. Says in part, "It disappoints me to know we live in a society in which people like Ilie Nastase can make such racist comments towards myself and unborn child and sexist comments against my peers. I've said it once and I'll say it again. This world has come so far, but yet we have so much further to go. This will not stop me from pouring love, light, and positivity into everything that I do." And she goes on to say that she's willing to help the ITF, the International Tennis Federation, with any investigation that goes into this to consider all the facts. She urges them to investigate this. That's the Serena Williams incident. That's her response. The other incident on Saturday was this match where he had some terrible things that he screamed at to a UK women's number one, Joanna Konta, and actually left her in tears. The match had to be suspended, and Konta had to take some time to compose herself. But to her credit, she won the match, I believe, 6-2, 6-3. And now remarks coming out from one of Romania's most famous athletes against Ilie Nastase's sexist comments from none other than Nadia Comăneci, the former Romanian gymnast and Olympic gold medalist, criticizing Ilie Nastase, saying, "I cannot condone or defend his recent ugly and very offensive remarks. I'm a great supporter of women in sport, and I would never condone any kind of sexist comments of this kind, whether they are from Ilie Nastase or anyone else." So big comments from one of the world's biggest sports stars against Elina Stasi. No word yet if he's going to face any sanctions or fines, but everyone is talking about this and everyone's trying to put an end to this kind of behavior.
Do you think a suspension is likely, Andrew, by imposed by the ITF?
I wouldn't be surprised if he's removed even as Romanian Fed Cup captain. He actually said after he was expelled from the match, he said, I don't get paid for this. I don't need to be here. So I think they might take his words on that and say, okay, you don't need to be here then. But I think for sure there is going to be a fine. I think that they're going to do some, the ITF is going to definitely crack down on this. There's no room for this kind of behavior in any sport. And certainly the ITF is going to recognize that. And I think there will be a heavy fine.
Andrew, our VOA listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is at VOA Sunny Sports, at VOA Sunny Sports. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, speaking of Serena Williams and her baby, we talked about the story last week. The is she pregnant? Is she not pregnant? Before her publicist finally confirmed it after she put up that Snapchat photo of her. It said 20 weeks with a little round belly where her baby is. And so Serena now is issuing her first statement on this, also on Instagram. Serena tends to favor Instagram, I find. She's very active on there. But she put out a nice photo of her in kind of some beachwear with this caption. It says, "My dearest baby, you give me the strength I didn't know I had. You taught me the true meaning of serenity and peace. I can't wait to meet you. I can't wait for you to join the players box next year. But most importantly, I am so happy to share being number one in the world with you once again today," because that's the other big thing. This week, Serena recaptured that number one ranking after Angelique Kerber fell down to number two. So on her fiancé's birthday, she writes, "From the world's oldest number one to the world's youngest number one, your mommy." So that was something that had a lot of fans saying, "Aw, what a nice moment." And eagerly awaiting for this young baby to be in the player's box next year. Now, the interesting thing about this, too, the fans picked up on, "I can't wait to see you in the player's box next year." All that commentary and talk about Serena Williams maybe retiring after this doesn't sound like she's going to. If her baby's going to be in the player's box, it sounds like she's going to be there competing in whatever tournament she enters, whether it's just the Grand Slams or other tournaments in the calendar year.
Andrew, we congratulate Serena for both her pregnancy. We hope it's a healthy baby, as well as recapturing that number one position. But if she's out of action for a few months, wouldn't she probably lose that number one ranking?
Yeah, when we get towards Wimbledon and the French Open and the U.S. Open tournaments where she has been a finalist or she's gotten very far in the tournament or even won Wimbledon last year, she's going to lose those ranking points. And so she will have to build herself back up from that. But as fans are saying, if anyone can do it, it'll be Serena.
And you're right. I think when she uses those phrases like player's box, it sure sounds like she's going to be swinging on the courts again.
I have no doubt that she'll be back, and I look forward to her coming back.
Andrew, we have about a minute left in the program. What else is trending?
Well, also big congratulations to Dale Earnhardt Jr., the NASCAR driver, announcing that he's retiring at the end of the 2017 season. We don't talk a lot about auto racing and NASCAR on the show, but Dale Earnhardt Jr., that's one of those names that is known throughout the U.S. and around the world, known as one of the sport's most popular and well-known figures. 14 years in a row, he's been rated the most popular driver. From a well-known racing family, his father, Dale Earnhardt, was a well-known auto racer, was actually killed in an accident at the 2001 Daytona 500. But a lot of excitement for his retirement, well wishes, and a lot of sadness, too. A lot of fans saying, we don't know what we're going to do next year. What happens when we can't watch Junior, as he's known, race anymore? But he's set to have a press conference later on today where he's going to talk about the retirement. One reason maybe that he's retiring, I think he's set for the rest of his life. Forbes magazine tweeted out that his career earnings, $400 million. He can not go off and have maybe a nice vacation and sit and be well set, I think.
Thank you, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. And that wraps up the April 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On April 25th, we observe World Malaria Day. It is an occasion to recognize the global effort to effectively control and eventually wipe out this terrible disease. This year's theme is End Malaria for Good. In 2015, 212 million people became sick with malaria, and over 429,000 died. The World Health Organization, or WHO, reports that 90% of malaria cases were reported in Africa, as were 92% of malaria-related deaths. The good news is malaria is preventable and curable, and there is good reason to believe that we can eliminate it altogether. Indeed, between 2000 and 2015, when the international community intensified its efforts, new cases among populations at risk fell by 29% globally. Nonetheless, a child still dies from malaria every 2 minutes. That is why we continue to focus on prevention. Among the most successful weapons we have against this deadly disease are insecticide-treated nets and indoor spraying with insecticides to kill the mosquitoes that carry the illness-causing parasite. These preventive tools, when coupled with strategies to prevent malaria during pregnancy, low-cost diagnostic tools, and highly effective malaria treatments, have and will continue to dramatically reduce death and disease from malaria. Yet much more needs to be done. To address remaining challenges, including the emergence of drug-resistant malaria, the World Health Organization has developed the Global Technical Strategy for Malaria, which provides a technical framework for all endemic countries as they work towards control and elimination. The first goals to be reached by the year 2020 are to reduce malaria incidence by at least 40%, reduce malaria mortality rates by at least 40%, eliminate the disease in at least 10 countries, and prevent a resurgence of malaria in all countries that are malaria-free. If we are to be successful, donors must step up to help fund the effort. The United States is the largest donor to malaria control and elimination programs, contributing over 50% of all donor funding available to countries for implementation. Still, if the 2020 targets of the Global Technical Strategy are to be achieved, total funding must increase substantially. On this day, we call on our friends and partners around the globe to contribute to the funds to help roll back and eventually eliminate this awful disease once and for all.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Linor Moudou. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
Hello, I am your host Shaka Salee. Every Wednesday night, the Voice of America's Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, Zimbabwe's persistent economic woes cloud its 37th Independence Day celebration. An in-depth discussion on Zimbabwe on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.